From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gastina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength is Not for Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.
Coming up this week, we'll take a look at a number of issues facing the governor and lawmakers in the coming session. Our political observer, Alan Chartok, shares his political predictions for the coming year, and the new year will bring some freedom to independent brewers in New York. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. Governor Cuomo and state lawmakers will face a number of issues in 2013, ranging from raising the state's minimum wage to campaign finance reform to gun control. More now from the Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt.
Some of the topics that are expected to dominate the session are the so-called progressive issues. Governor Cuomo, who has set the agenda for the first two legislative sessions of his term, seems to be planning on doing the same in 2013. He's already introduced what he calls a litmus test of issues in exchange for conditional support of a new Senate governing coalition. They include raising the minimum wage, reforming New York City's stop and frisk laws by legalizing public possession of small amounts of marijuana, and campaign finance reform. Cuomo says the current campaign system is a hodgepodge quilt of confusing rules that are riddled with loopholes.
We're going to put forth a fundamental reform in campaign finance, disclosure, etc.
The governor says he wants to force more disclosure of the activities of super PACs that take advantage of loopholes under not-for-profit rules to hide their donors. But he stopped short of saying that public financing of campaigns has to be included in a final package. Cuomo is perhaps anticipating resistance from the new Senate leadership, which includes five members of a breakaway Democratic faction and all of the chamber's Republicans. Senate Republican leader Dean Skelos has already expressed reservations.
My concern is that when we're dealing with deficits, you have potentially $200 million in taxpayer dollars going to be spent on campaign finance.
Gun control measures are expected to take front and center in the new session. The governor and legislative leaders have been discussing tightening the state's assault weapons ban and taking several other measures in the wake of the Newtown, Connecticut school shooting. Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver says he'll reintroduce several bills, ranging from child safety locks for guns and micro-stamping of bullets to better investigate criminal shootings.
I hate to use the tragedy in this fashion, but the reality is it's reality. We have to stop the proliferance of guns.
Cuomo has promised to add economic development measures to his State of the State message, focusing on the troubled upstate economy. He has not said whether permits for the controversial natural gas drilling process known as hydrofracking will be part of that plan. The state's environmental agency is now expected to finally conclude a lengthy review process in late February. The New York State Business Council's Heather Bruschetti says it's about time.
We'd like to get the ball rolling here. If it's going to happen, I think it's important that a decision be made and so we can move forward.
But during the long delay, opposition to fracking has only grown. Bill McKibben, a nationally known environmentalist and author, spoke at one of many rallies held at the Capitol. He urged the governor to oppose fracking.
This is his gut check moment, and we will all be watching.
The expansion of casino gambling as an economic development engine will also be a major topic in 2013. New Yorkers may get a chance to vote on whether they want to allow up to seven new gambling parlors in the state. The state legislature first must approve second passage of a constitutional amendment to allow casinos on non-Indian lands before the measure gets to the ballot in November. Governor Cuomo says voters likely won't approve exact locations for the casinos. He'd like market forces to decide that instead.
Where we have the ability and opportunity to attract the most exciting, aggressive proposals from the best operators in the world, and then we get to pick among the best options.
Cuomo will also release his state budget plan by mid-January. New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut are still waiting on action from Congress on a $60 billion aid request for relief from Superstorm Sandy. Cuomo says if the money doesn't come, then the budget could have a much larger than expected deficit. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok. Well, Alan, we're just about at the end of 1 year, about to begin 2013. We have a coming session in New York, and our Karen DeWitt has done a preview. She says that the governor and lawmakers are going to face a number of issues in 2013, from the state's minimum wage to campaign finance reform to gun control. As you look into your political crystal ball, what do you see coming? You think he'll have success on these issues?
Well, David, I do. I think he's got a lot of friends in both houses. His agenda is pretty progressive. However, I do, looking into my crystal ball, I am seeing something that is very, very strange. It says chaos. And here's where the chaos is going to come, according to my instrument here, and that is going to be at the point at which the Republicans and the Jeff Klein Democrat turnovers, the IDC, who have made a deal with Skelos, the Republican leader. And that deal is this. At least this is what we're hearing. 2 weeks, you'll be the leader, Skelos, and 2 weeks, I'll be the leader. And if you think that's going to work, think again. In the meantime, you've got a bunch of very angry regular Democrats sitting there, really ticked off. I could use a more colloquial term than ticked off, but really ticked off that these four, as they see them, turncoats, and now five, have made a deal with Skelos. And they're going to be looking at the quality of the agenda that that Cuomo has put before them. So, if, for example, if they want campaign finance, which was on the governor's list, is it going to be tepid? Is it going to be, you know, the kind of thing we got with the so-called Ethics Commission, otherwise known as J. Cope or J. Joke? You know, it sounded good on paper, but it's quite clear by now that it doesn't really work. So, for example, instead of telling us exactly how much they make, they're telling us it's between this thing and that thing, that old gambit that they've done for so long. So now I'm hearing from the Democratic conference people, the regular Democrats, who are ticked off at the turncoat Democrats, who have made a deal with Dean Skelos, the Republican, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, that it had better be good stuff that they put up. Because if it isn't good, they are not going to support it. And that's where the chaos that has been predicted in my crystal ball is beginning to show up.
Finally, Alan, we don't know clearly what's going to happen with gun control in New York, but certainly after the Newtown, Connecticut massacre, we have seen governors around our region, including New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, say they want to make that part of their efforts to ramp up gun control. Now we see New York State Rifle and Pistol Association President Thomas King saying his organization is going to activate phone banks, asking gun owners to bombard Cuomo and the legislature with phone calls and emails opposing new restrictions on firearms.
Now, I haven't seen it, but I'm told that the Daily News says that the NRA is going to, quote, target the governor's phone banks. And if that's exactly the word that was used, it's exactly what they should have used, because this is obviously very threatening behavior on the NRA's part and on the local gun people's part. And if they think it's going to work, they're wrong. I am sure that the governor is polling. He has an excellent pollster named Drew Zambelli, who I'm sure they're looking at the way that people are feeling. I think that the rationale that they're using, David, is to get as much time between the Newtown shootings and the legislative action on this, because people tend to forget after a while, or they tend to calm down after a while. And I'll bet that that's what the NRA and the various rifle associations and gun clubs are thinking right now. We had a discussion last week with the Attorney General, Eric Schneiderman, who announced that he had sent undercover people into the so-called gun shows, and that in those shows, no matter what the undercover agent said to the gun dealers, they got their guns. They could say, well, you know, the police took all my guns away, and as an order of protection against my wife, and they still got the guns. So the gun shows are one of the places that a lot of guns are sold, and that there's a real rationale for controlling them. Now my bet is that Cuomo's a tough guy, and Zambelli's a good pollster, and they will come up with a reason for staying with this because people are furious about too many guns being out there.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartot. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gastina. Representatives from three healthcare systems in New York's North Country are warning that there will be severe ramifications to healthcare if the nation goes over the fiscal cliff. More now from the Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley.
Officials from the CVPH Medical Center, Adirondack Health, and Elizabethtown Community Hospital say proposed health care cuts in the fiscal cliff negotiations would have devastating impacts on rural health care systems. The regional health facilities say they could see $432 million in cuts over 10 years. That's in addition to $320 million in cuts from the Affordable Care Act and already adopted Medicare and Medicaid cuts. CVPH Medical Center President Stevens Mundy notes that they have already implemented staff reductions and restructured over the past 18 months. The looming fiscal cliff cuts will lead to service cutbacks.
I go to D.C. several times a year working on various issues related to health care. It was very difficult to come back feeling anything other than impending doom. There was not one item talked about in our meetings that indicated that they were looking anywhere other than healthcare to recoup many of these monies. And we have done a number of things here on our nursing units, in our management structure, with layoffs, et cetera. And we're going to be very much pushed to make very serious decisions about services.
Adirondack Health operates two hospitals and two nursing homes in the Adirondacks. President and CEO Chandler Ralph says potential cuts to the Seoul Community Hospital funding program, coupled with Medicare and Medicaid cuts, would cripple rural health facilities across the country.
What we're facing now down in Washington is some of the most horrific cuts I have ever seen. If you took all the cuts that they are proposing down in Washington and totaled them up for 1 year for Adirondack Health, it would be over $4 million. When you get to that point of cuts, you have to take a scalpel to the services that we deliver. If you take a look at the total layoffs that occurred in the North Country and around the North Country, it's 280 jobs. So as we take a look going forward at cuts that are much more devastating, it really makes us all frightened about what we can do going forward.
Nuclear medicine technologist Dan Ashline-Baudet is chair of SEIU, the employees union at CVPH. He traveled to Washington, D.C. on December 11th with other union officials to talk to congressional representatives.
We have over 1,200 members here at this facility, and we have already gone through a round of cuts in November. Yesterday, we laid off the entire transcription department. I'm concerned that in the future, there are going to be other areas of the hospital that are going to suffer layoffs that are going to more directly impact patient care. It is very, very important that we all stand unified and that we let Congress know that these are draconian, adversely impacting cuts that we cannot tolerate. We just cannot tolerate. It would be to the detriment of our patient care and our facilities. It just can't happen.
The administrators and union representatives want the public to contact Congress to express concerns about proposed health care cuts.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
Small independent brewers in New York say a piece of legislation that goes into effect January 1st will give them some freedom when it comes to the distribution of their beer. And with this comes the opportunity to improve their bottom lines. We get more from the Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn.
Owners of small breweries in New York will soon have the opportunity to negotiate out of their contracts with distributors.
Essentially, there's going to be a buyout provision that's involved, and it's going to be sitting down and negotiating a deal. But instead of having it go to litigation, what this law allows small brewers to do, because costly litigation for a small brewer is prohibitive. So what this law does is it allows differences between a distributor and a small brewer to go to arbitration and work out their differences without expensive legal costs.
That's David Kutletsky. He's the president and co-founder of the New York State Brewers Association and owner of the Empire Brewing Company in Syracuse. Small brewers are those who produce fewer than 300,000 barrels of beer annually and whose sales to a wholesaler are 3% or less of the beer wholesaler's annual business. Kutletsky says he and other small brewers have been crafting this legislation for 8 years, and it all started when some small brewers were trying to get out of their contracts with distributors.
One of the classic examples is what Steve Hindy went through at Brooklyn Brewery. In fact, it took on a chapter of his book called Beer School, where he was trying to get out of a distributor, and a distributor wouldn't let him out, and it went to litigation, and multiple six figures were spent on getting out of the contract, and it went on for a very lengthy period, and ultimately he lost market share. And what we're trying to do, especially for New York breweries, is to avoid something like this happening again. And it's happened to a good half dozen breweries across the state.
In addition to Brooklyn Brewery, Kutletsky recalls an issue one of the Hudson Valley's small brewers, Captain Lawrence Brewing Company in Westchester County, had with its distributor. Scott Vaccaro is the owner of Captain Lawrence in Elmsford.
After getting involved in with a distributor that we were very unhappy with, it actually took us 2 years of begging. They finally let us go, and after that contract was done with, I decided not to sign any more contracts in New York State until something was done with the law.
And now that something has been done, he says he feels he has control over his destiny. He has already signed with 5 distributors that will give his brand access beyond the lower part of the state.
We're hoping that it will increase our sales dramatically. Right now we're only sold in the lower 15 counties in New York State, so being able to have the rest of New York State as a, new market, we're hopeful is will produce some big things.
He and other small brewers say the 1996 beer franchise law is outdated, as it was written to protect small wholesalers from arbitrary termination by large multinational breweries at a time when there were just a handful of craft brewers in the state. However, now there are fewer wholesalers and many more small brewers. And while the change in the legislation can lead to the craft brewers ending their contracts with wholesalers, the State Brewers Association's Kutletsky says he thinks the new law is more of a safety provision than a call to action.
I don't think this is a situation where there's going to be a bunch of small breweries jumping ship, if you will. What it does is it just gives them an option in the event that a distributor, for any given reason, is not doing the best of their ability for one of the breweries.
Calls to the Albany-based New York State Beer Wholesalers Association were not returned in time for this broadcast. In addition, a manager of a Brooklyn-based distributor that distributes some Hudson Valley-based brews declined to comment.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. New York City will convey title to a large piece of property located in Greene County to the state for expanded recreational use. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas reports now that the move will ensure water quality protection while giving tourism a boost.
815 acres of land in the New York City watershed was acquired by the city in 2002 and 2005 under its land acquisition program to protect water quality for more than 9 million city residents. The New York City Department of Environmental Protection and the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation have worked cooperatively over several years to transfer ownership since DEC expressed interest in managing the property in the town of Windham for recreational use consistent with watershed protection. Paul Rush is deputy commissioner for the DEP's Bureau of Water Supply.
The city had discussed and worked out an arrangement with DEC to transfer the parcel from DEP to DEC in consultation with the town of Windham, Greene County, and the Watershed Coalition of Watershed Towns.
With the land transfer, DEC will assume tax and stewardship obligations. The site was selected due to the extensive network of pre-existing dirt roads that are suitable for biking and other recreational opportunities. Windham Town Supervisor Stephen Walker says the change will benefit the local tourist economy.
Obviously, the biggest driver of the economy is Windham Mountain, the ski area. And in the summer months, there's quite a bit of World Cup mountain biking, and there's quite a bit of mountain biking that also takes place. We're looking to develop a network of trails for public use. Of course, they're always looking for a little more summer business. Skiing is not so hot in the summer.
Watershed protection is widely considered the best way of maintaining high-quality drinking water in the long term. Paul Rush notes that New York City's gravity flow water delivery system is one of the most comprehensive in the world.
Well, the city of New York is fortunate that the engineers and the elected officials at the turn of the century and before developed a source of water that provides high-quality drinking water to the people of the city of New York from the Catskill Mountains. And as the system was developing at the turn of the century, it was already protected from development in terms of state's creation of the Catskill Park and lands that they were acquiring. Protection of water at its source is a much more sustainable way of delivering water long-term, requiring less energy, providing better protection. And now in the water utility sector, I mean, many, many more utilities are recognizing the value of source protection.
DEP has nearly 6,000 employees, including almost 1,000 scientists, engineers, surveyors, watershed maintainers, and other professionals in the upstate watershed, comprised of 19 reservoirs, 3 controlled lakes, and numerous tunnels and aqueducts. DEP has invested more than $1.5 billion in watershed protection programs.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. Copies of the program are available. Call 1-800-323-9262. That number again, 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1252, or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina. Happy New Year.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength is Not for Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.